because it was really dead on there. I didn't want it to quit.
I don't know why it's doing it, but so anyway, it's good to have everybody here this morning. Wasn't looking forward to teaching or anything. I just got back from Rochester last week at Brother Hector's church, and I thought, well, I'm going to have a week off, and the Lord put it on Pastor's heart that I don't get a week off, so that's okay. Glad to have Avi here. It's always a pleasure to learn some things from him. Brother Paul Foltz, Veronica, we met her previously out there in Philly. It's good to have the Irelands here. I'm thankful for the work that they're able to do over there.
Amen.
And my mother. It's good to see my mother here. I just wanted to give her a shout out. And if you haven't noticed, my twin, Crystal's here, my daughter, and my granddaughter, Jaylen, well, she must have went downstairs, is here. They're here with us for the week, and I always love the visit when they do come or when we get to have time together. And it wasn't always a good thing. Thank God for his forgiveness and being able to build a relationship between me and my daughter and granddaughter, because it wasn't always. And to my fault, I was out there in sin and didn't care about a child's heart. Didn't care about how she felt. Didn't care about how it made her mother feel. And but thank God for forgiveness. And thank God that she's forgiven and we have a relationship now. And I do appreciate that. And so I'm not a man of eloquent speech like Moses, but God didn't call me to have an eloquent speech. He called me to preach.
Amen.
Okay, I might not always say things right. I may be shaky. I may stutter. I may have some street lingo that gets mixed up in there. But I'm just telling you, God saved me from the streets. God saved me from the gangs. God saved me from that place. And sometimes it gets intermingled and I apologize for when it does. But he is cleaning up my speech. He's cleaning up my act. He's cleaning up my life. And I do thank him for that. But this message may not be for everyone. But there's someone God has their finger on. That I can promise you. Because this was not a message that I wanted to preach. This was not what I had in mind for today. And then yesterday, God got a hold of my heart and he says, we're not going to have that message. And I thought, well, Lord, that's the message I thought. And he said, that's right, that's what you thought. We're going to change what you think around. And God gave me this message. And so whoever it's for, maybe for multiple people, maybe for one person, I don't know that. But for whoever it's for, you need to have open ears. You need to have your ears and your eyes circumcised to be able to hear what this message has got to say. And we need to take it, not just leave it here in this church building like I see people do many times over. We need to take it into our homes. In America today, the Bible has been taken out of the hearts.
Right.
It's been taken out of the homes. It's been taken out of the schools. It's been taken out of public. And we wonder why we're in a mess. Let's put the Bible. Listen, Christians. You call yourself a Christian. You say you're a Christian. You need to put the Bible back in your heart, in your homes.
Amen.
And let it flow out into the streets. Let it flow out into people's minds. I know Brother Ronnie was talking about, he had a man tell him one time, don't go out there and just tell people about Jesus Christ. Yes, you go out there and tell them about Jesus, Ronnie. Because there's certain people that only us are going to be able to ever reach. There's certain people that only Dale Morey will ever reach. There's certain people that Brother Faults will ever be able to go out there and be able to reach, that be able to talk to about Jesus Christ. So don't ever stop it, Ronnie. You get out there and you tell them about what Jesus Christ has done. I have a doctorate. I just finished that in June, and it was a big accomplishment in my life. But let me just tell you this. A doctorate doesn't teach me what God needs to teach me. A doctorate can't teach me what life, struggles, trials, and temptations are going to teach me. A doctorate has nothing but two or three letters, depending on where you put it. That's all it is. It's the things that God teaches when we're alone, when we have those circumcised ears, when we have that heart to be able to hear what God has to tell us. That's where it means something. Not the letters in front of my name or the letter after my name. That has nothing to do on what God is going to show me. It has nothing to do with what God is going to teach me. The trials that are going to come, the struggles. And let me just tell you, folks, I'm going through some heartbreak right now. Because in the jail, I've lost a lot of people because I go in there preaching the King James Bible, and they've been on it. I mean, they've been in it. They love it. But that I have somebody creeping in unawares who's taking those people from me. And where I used to have a full classroom, I had two this week. That hurts me. That hurts my heart miserably. I love those people. If anybody knows me, I love those people dearly, and it hurts to see that. But you know what? That's one of the things that I have to face. It's one of the things that I need to go through, and a doctor can never teach me that. That's something a pastor can't teach me.
Right.
He may have some wisdom, but these are things that only God and His grace and mercy is ever going to be able to teach Dale Morris. So you pray for me, please. I need it. 1 Kings 8:13. I'm going to spiritualize something here, but I think it's very important. Again, this is not a message that I was going to preach. This is not something that I was going to get into. This is not something that I had prepared, but the Lord changes things, and I'm thankful for that He done it. 1 Kings 8:13. And I'll give everybody a minute there. First Kings 8:13 says this. He says, "I have surely built thee a house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever." King Solomon is talking about the temple here, but I want to look at this as a different picture of what a Christian home should be. A Christian home should be a place where God can put His name, where He's comfortable to have His name, where He's comfortable to dwell in the midst of the people. That's missing today in churches. God's not happy to dwell in the homes that we have amongst us today. I've been around enough in the past few years, 3 years or whatever we've been on the road, to see that God is not happy with the homes. I deal with more Christian children that grew up in Sunday school who are now in jails and prisons than I've ever seen in my entire life. Why is that? Because the homes have become a place that God is not happy to put His name in. He's not happy to see the things that are going on there.
Right.
And it's become a light thing in America. It's become a light thing in our churches. And then I have people come up to me and say, "Why do you think my son or daughter did that?" And I want to tell them this, and I don't, because I just don't do it. Why don't you look in the mirror? Why don't you see and reflect on what you've done? Because if I read the Bible correctly, it says that the children are the glory of the father. The wife is the glory of the husband.
Amen.
That's what it says.
That's Bible.
That's a big responsibility to put on a person. Mm-hmm. But when God saves a Christian man, that's the responsibility He puts on that person.
Amen.
Men are failing the homes. Men are compromising.
Come on.
Men are making their home a place that God does not want to put His name in.
That's right.
A house that the Lord won't mind being in is a house that has been settled on. It's been a place that the Lord can abide until such time that we're called home. At one time, a home, a place families would want the name of God to be on their home, is no longer there. Christian families don't want the name of God put on their home. They're ashamed, they're embarrassed because of the things that they do, the things that they get into, and they say, "We don't want the name of God on our home. We'll just put the name of God wherever we want it. We'll let Him dwell where we want to put Him." And He's moved out of the homes, Pastor.
Exactly right.
He's moved out of the homes. And it's not His choice. We put Him there. It's a hard message. You know why it's a hard message? Because this is the very thing that God has dealt with me. I had to face myself. I had to face my family. I had to face the circumstances that I'm going through to be able to get this message to you. This is not something that, hey Nick, this is not something God gave me to give to you. It's something that God put me through to give to you.
That's it.
I had to face this myself. I had to have God challenge my heart. Dale, where's your family? And I'm just telling you, when we were out there on the road this year, God gave me some heart challenges. This is one of them. Where's your family, Dale? Hey, He didn't ask Amy, "Where's your family, Amy? Where's your children, Amy?" No, He said, "Dale, where's your family?" That's a very important matter. You know, it used to matter to me. I'll just be honest with you right now. I've lost that. And God's had to bring that up to me multiple times in the past few weeks. Dale, you have made this home a place I don't want to put my name. How many of you out there are going to admit that? Why don't you just admit it to God today? Why don't you just say, my home has become a place that God does not want to put his name? Because this is the truth. It's reality. The quicker you can get to that, the quicker you can confess that to God, the quicker he can start working.
That's right.
All right. Come on, brother.
That's a reality. 6.5 years I've been in this thing. In 6.5 years, I find myself on my face more than ever. But you know, I'm so thankful for it because I would never see any other way. If everything was hunky-dory like Christians claim it always is, I would never see anything that God needs to teach me. I would never see my family where it's at. I would never see myself where it's at. I'd never see where I'm bringing my family, where I'm taking us. I thank God for it. How is the house or home that you're building? If it is of the Lord, is it of the Bible? Is it of love or is it of pride and anger and the things of this world? Psalm 127:1 says, except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. If God isn't building your home, it's in vain. It's going to crumble. It's going to fall apart. It's not going to withstand the storms. I'm just talking about a serious matter here. How many of us are going to the tables at night and having dinner together and reading our Bible with our children? The world gets them. The world puts things in their hearts. We only have a limited amount of time to deal with them. You got to sit down and teach them. You got to let them ask the questions. You got to let them come to you.
Amen.
You keep blowing it off. Oh, you know, they're still young yet. Okay, you keep doing that. This year has been a year, and I told my wife last year, I said, hun, next year we're going to start facing some things in our home that are going to be real hard. Did I not tell you that? That's right, I did. And you ask her what I told her this year. I said, Amy, we're going to get ready to go through it again.
God is going to challenge our hearts, and he's going to challenge our home. What am I going to do? Blow it off again?
I believe God has given me a warning. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. This has become a secondary thing in the parents' hearts. It's not the first thing that they turn to anymore. And their home reflects it. You know what we try to do? We try to look at everything out there and try to blame everything on that. And we forget to look here. We forget to start with the parents. We forget to start with the one who's in the mirror, the one that you have to look at every single day. We forget to look at that person and go, my goodness, they're only a reflection of me.
That's right. Come on.
You think that's easy to face? That's a heartbreak. And if it don't break your heart, there's a problem. It's called having a hard heart. Hey, let me just tell you this now. God wants to soften that thing up. He wants to break up that fallow ground. He wants to give you a new heart if you'll let him. The problem is we don't want to let it. Why? Because we don't want the Lord building our home. Things are going to be different than if he starts building our home. Let me just say, things will be different if the Lord builds your home.
That's right.
It will be different. Amy, could you imagine if the Lord saved us and just left us the same old people we've always been? What a nightmare. What an absolute nightmare that would be. If Jesus Christ saved me and gave me a family to take care of, and it stayed the same that it always has been. That means I'd always be a drunk. I'd always be a drug addict. I'd always go out there and be a thief. I'd always go out there and abuse my wife and my children. Oh, that's a good Christian life, wouldn't you say? Thank God he didn't leave me the same person. Thank God he doesn't leave me in that condition. Thank God for his grace and his mercy who shows me these things. Thank God that I take the time to get up and read my Bible because sleeping don't mean that much to me. When I was out there in the world, I didn't sleep because I was too busy partying. Now I'm going to sleep on God's time? Shame on me. Shame on me. I'd stay awake all night long partying. You mean to tell me I can't get up a little earlier and read my Bible? God means that much to me. I gotta get 10 or 15 more minutes of sleep. Now, I'm just saying, you know what? There's times that we need that. There's no question. You work a hard day. Your body's tired. God knows that. He gives you that rest. He says he gives a working man rest. But when it becomes a daily thing, you all of a sudden you find yourself not reading that day or not praying or not getting a hold of God that day because you had to sleep in and now you're rushing to get out the door, there's a problem with that. The problem is the man's not building this house with the Lord. He's building it on his own self. It's selfish. It's selfish. If the Lord is your house not being built with the things of the Lord, then you've missed it. What you're building on means nothing. It's vain. And vain means it's good for nothing. It has no value. The things of naught. That's what the Bible calls those who build their house on the things other than the Lord. What foundation are you building your home on? Is it the sand, which is a picture of the world and its ways? Or is it the rock, which is a picture of Jesus Christ and his ways? Matthew 7:24 says this, therefore whosoever heareth. I want you to stop right there. There's a TH on the end of that word. That means you don't hear just once. That means you continually hear. The TH on the end of your word in the King James Bible means it's something that continues to happen. So he heareth. That means you don't hear just one time and be done with it. No, you're going to hear continually. The problem is we shut that off. We put our fingers in our ears. Lord, I don't want to hear that. Well, you need to hear. Well, I don't want to. I'm not going to do it. You know what he says? Therefore, whosoever heareth these things, these sayings of mine, and doeth. Uh-oh. There's a TH there. Oh, man. That means I got to continue to do this thing? Yeah, you try. You got to continue to do it. You go ahead and let your guard down. You go ahead and take this as a joke. You go ahead and take what God's trying to do in your life and just blow it off as naught. Blow it off as vain. You see what happens. I'm going to tell you what happens. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. How about that? It could take the storms of life. It could take whatever the devil wanted to throw at it. It could take whatever our flesh wants. I mean, the storms can come. The rains can come. This isn't going to be hard. It just said it ain't going to fall.
Amen.
I don't ever remember Jesus Christ saying, hey, go ahead and take my yoke, and I'll take yours off of you. No, he said, you get in this with me. Stop doing it yourself, and now you get in that yoke with me, and we'll go through this together. He never said he'd take it away.
Hey, Nick. How about that thief on the cross, my friend? Jesus Christ promised him that he'd be with him in paradise that day. Then Jesus Christ goes ahead and dies. That man's still hanging on the cross. Still had to have his legs broke to die.
Mm-hmm. What's that tell you? We're going to suffer here on this earth. There are things we're going to go through, but let me just tell you this. That man's legacy will be there for eternity.
Amen.
He had his mind fixated on the things not of this world, but the things in heaven, and it helped him go through that very pain and suffering. I believe that. What's your testimony going to be? What's it going to be? What are your children going to grow up and say about you? What's your family going to grow up? What are they going to say about you? What can they go up there and tell you? What can they tell about you, Randy? Boy, yeah, he started building this house. You know, a lot of people start building their house on that rock and then they shift to the sand and they think they're still on that rock. And I'm going to tell you, you missed it. When you start building on that rock, you got to stay on that rock. You can't shift it to the sand and think you're on the same ground, but you're not. You're not. It's a whole different ball game. The rock, which is Jesus, is the only foundation that can withstand the storms of life, the devil, the sin nature. The sand, which is the world and its ways, looks good. It looks strong. It looks like a good place to build your home. And then the storm begins. And when those storms begin, Matthew 7, 26 and 20 says, 27 says, and everyone that heareth these sayings. Okay, we're going to hear again. Can't be a one-time thing. You got to continue to hear these things. And he doeth them not. Shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended. The floods came. And the winds blew. And it beat upon that house. And it fell. But it doesn't stop there, my friends. And great was the fall of it. And great was the fall of it. Total annihilation, destruction. The devil, like a roaring lion, walking around, seeking whom he may devour. That word devour means to totally annihilate, to wipe it out. Those same storms that came when a house is built on Jesus Christ when it's built on the rock came to the same people that built their house on that sand. The difference was one may have struggled, but they stayed on that foundation, which is Jesus Christ. The other was a great fall. You want to wonder why we work with inmates that are children that grew up in Baptist churches? Because their family started building on the sand.
Right.
Fathers, get off the sand.
Amen.
It's reflected in your family. This is what I tell people all the time. People really think they're hiding things. But what you believe reflects in your life. And you can, it's seen all over the place. Uh-huh. What do you really hide? What do you really think you're hiding? You're not hiding nothing. It's prevalent because those things that you live in slip out. Because that's what you believe. The problem is you just won't admit it to God. You get to God and you tell him, Lord, you're right. I'm messing up. I'm living. I'm believing something totally that I should not be. I'm doing something that I thought I was building on the rock, Lord, but I missed. I went a little to the right. And I fell off that rock and I'm on the sand now. Would you help me get back on that rock? You see, if I took a show of hands, you all know those verses. Y'all can probably quote them. But knowing and living are two different things. I just want you to know that.
Amen.
God didn't give us these verses just to know them. It's wonderful to learn Sunday school verses, but kids, let me ask you this, or there's no kids in here. If I could ask the children, how many of you know the verses, but how many of you are living them? Adults, how many, hide thy word in thy heart. Oh, that sounds so wonderful, Lord. I'm going to hide your word in my heart. And it looks real pretty. It looks good that I can quote verses. Oh, isn't that wonderful? He's got a lot of knowledge. And then you look at their life and go, boy, I wish he'd live them. I wish they'd live them. I wish they lived those verses, because you know what I'm going to say? God didn't give us a nice little pretty Bible just to look at it and get some knowledge from it and learn some memory verses. He gave it to us to live.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5:17, you all know it. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are. It's talking present tense. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things present tense are become new. That's a process that's going on continually. It doesn't stop unless you turn your back on God. My house should continually look more and more like Jesus Christ and less like Dale and Amy. Dale and Amy should look more and more like Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29. We're predestined to become like who? Jesus Christ. Boy, if Jesus Christ looked like me, shame. Oh, could you imagine the shame? I don't have people knocking down my door, Chris, because they want what I have, to my shame. How many people are knocking down your door to get what you have? You know why? They're not seeing the predestination of Jesus Christ in your life. They're not seeing Jesus Christ formed in your life. Matter of fact, they're not even hearing it out of your mouth. They're not seeing it in your life when you're out there in public, when you're at work or wherever else. They're not seeing Jesus Christ. If so, I think our church views would be pretty full. And I hate to say it, but I always have to say it. It was not John Asquith that made me come to this church. I'm glad he came to visit my family. I believe the Lord sent him because I would listen to it and all that. But I did not. John Asquith didn't force anything on me. He did none of that. You know what made me want to come there? I seen what he had in him. I wanted what he had in him. At that point, I had no clue what it was. Today, I understand it was Jesus Christ. That's who I said. And I ran into a lot of religious people. Being in and out of jails and prisons, I ran into a lot of religious people. And I'd never seen Jesus Christ in them. I ran into John Asquith because he didn't just preach this. He lived it. Jesus Christ was being formed in him and I saw it. And I wanted it. You ask my wife, I'd sit there rocking back and forth crying. And I just kicked him out of my house. Get out of my house. Don't come back here no more. I don't want you here. No, I don't want to hear what you have to say. I knew it was the truth. And I would just say, Amy, I know what he's telling me is the truth. But I want what he has. I didn't want his life. I didn't want religion. I wanted what was inside that man. Because what was inside that man was going to make me free. What was inside that man was going to make me a different person. What was inside that man was going to save my marriage. That's what I wanted, because it was the only hope I had left. Because I just had a few months ago, back then before I was saved, I had a man tell me, a psychiatrist looked at me and said, there's no hope for you anymore. You ever had the world tell you there's no hope for you anymore? Good. Because Jesus Christ can start. I'm glad the world gives up on me. I'm glad the world gave up on me. And when they did, Jesus Christ could come in my heart and he can start working in there. And he can start showing me the real problem. You know what the real problem was? They gave me every diagnosis under the sun. Bipolar disorder, post-traumatic stress syndrome. And for every diagnosis they gave me, they put me on a pill. Sometimes doubled that pill. Well, that pill isn't working, so we got to add another one to it. If that one ain't working, we'll add another one to that one. But next thing you know, I was on 19 pills a day. I take zero today. Does that tell you something about Jesus Christ? Yes, what he can do to a person?
Amen.
That same. Still Dale Moore. He's still got the same social security number. Still got the same tattoos and everything. That man told me there was no hope for him. Well, he should have turned around and said, look, here's what you need. You need Jesus. If he had just told me you need Jesus Christ, it would have saved me a lot of hurt and pain a long time ago. How about the woman with the issue of blood? 12 years, spent all she had going to seek the physicians. That's everybody's answer. Now, let's go to the physician. King Asa, I believe it was, he saw the physician, left God out, and ended up dying for a sore on his foot. That's what's going on today, Stephen. Everybody's going everywhere else for their help except for Jesus Christ. They're going to psychiatrists, psychologists. They're turning to alcohol, drugs, sexual sins, and everything else because they're trying to get that relief and they can't find it. I know, I was trapped in it. One of the ways that I was trying to get relief was hurting people. Did me no good. Got me in a lot of prison sentences. Got me in a lot of trouble. That's my mother. She's sitting right there. Chris, why didn't somebody just tell me to turn to Jesus a long time ago? The agony. And great was the fall of it. Why? And great is the fall of the families and the houses and the homes that are in America today because people are no longer building on the Lord. They're building on the sands of this world. Look at the divorce rate, the unwanted or abandoned children, not only physically but emotionally and mentally. Let me just tell you something. It doesn't mean just abandoned. It doesn't mean just somebody who's being physically walked away from. Parents are physically, mentally, and emotionally abandoning their children. They can live in your home and you can emotionally and mentally abandon your children. How do I do that? Take God out of them. Go ahead and take it away from them. You're abandoning them. You're leaving them to their self. It says train up a child in the way. That ain't training them. Sexual sins, predators, broken homes. These are in our Christian churches. I'm not even talking about the world. I'm talking about in the Baptist circles, guys. I'm talking about the predators that sit in our pews. I'm talking about the sexual sins that take place right in our Baptist churches. God has been removed even out of Christians' hearts. Romans 1:28 says they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. I want you to do this. For the next 24 hours, I want you to think upon God every minute that you possibly can remember. And I guarantee you this, you'll do less and less of what you do every single day and more of what God wants. That's why they don't like to retain God in their knowledge, because they know they can't get away with the things they're doing.
That's right. Yes, sir.
They don't like to retain God in their knowledge. Why? Because you can get away with anything you want then. Go ahead and try it. Go ahead and live the next 24 hours with God on your mind constantly. As much as you can. I know you can't, but try it one time. And let me just tell you this, you'll live a whole lot different than you ever did. And this is why people want to take the knowledge of God out. Because when that's gone, it's an open game. Aren't we doing that in our homes? We're doing it in our homes. Dare you say the Bible is wrong? Can you disagree? Except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain that build it. I could never build my house, Tanya. I didn't know how to be a husband. Didn't know how to be a dad to my children. No clue. Zero. Never had it. And if God didn't come in and step in my life, I wouldn't have had it today. I'd be in jail, prison, dead. That's it. There's nothing else. There was no hope. And let me just say this. My pastor doesn't come sit at my kitchen table and teach me how to be a husband or a dad to my children.
Amen.
I love you, Pastor, and you know that. But God has to teach me
that's
that.
Right. Yes, that's
right. Right here. The answer's here. I debate with people all day, every day, all the time on the King James Bible and the NIVs and every other baloney that's out there. Believe me, I put up with a lot of nonsense. Mm-hmm. I studied NIVs. I studied ESVs. I studied Buddhism. I studied all this stuff because knowledge was big to me. If I could take my knowledge and just convince you, Nick, of something that I'm not, became a chameleon, I could fit it anywhere. Because that knowledge, the Bible says knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge made me think something that I was something that I wasn't. I was lost and didn't realize it. So I went to Pastor Haynes Church at RU. Me and my wife realized we were lost. You know why? Because I learned how to become a chameleon, Nick. I could fit in with all the knowledge. Knowledge made me think that I was something that I wasn't. You know why? Because I was missing the truth. I was ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, is what the Bible says. Ever learning. That means people are out there and all they are doing is learning that Bible, but it's doing them no good because they can't come to the truth of repentance and salvation in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That knowledge means garbage. If that knowledge meant anything, you ask my wife, when I met her and I came out of prison, I could teach a Bible. I went out there street preaching. I went to homeless shelters preaching. I can quote any Bible you wanted to give me, frontwards or backwards. And I'm lost. I am going to hell, leading people to Jesus Christ. There was still that emptiness in my heart. That void was still there. That same exact hurt never went away with knowledge. It wasn't until Jesus Christ stepped in my life. Why? Because I started building my house and letting the Lord do it.
Amen.
Go ahead. Yeah, the Maury's ain't perfect. You come to my house. We are not perfect people. We have a lot of flaws in our... We have a lot. But with as much as life within me, I'm building my house and I'm letting the Lord do it. With my mistakes. This problem is I don't hide my mistakes, brother. I sit down with my wife and my children and we have it out. This is what I did, this is what I said, or whatever is the situation. And I'm open and I'm honest with my children. I don't ever want them to see me as a hypocrite, ever. Well, Dad, you believe this, but you're doing that. I don't want my children to see me as a hypocrite. Hey, guys, I'm struggling with this, and I'm sorry. Your dad's going to try better. Honey, I'm sorry that sometimes I get that way with you. Forgive me, I'm learning, okay? I'm trying to learn. I don't leave myself out there trying to pretend that I'm something. Say and do whatever I want to my wife and children. Live any old way I want. And then go out there. Okay, guys, now we're going to be a Christian. Okay, I'm going to be a preacher and teach Sunday, so I don't do that. I've never been that way as a criminal. I'm not going to be that way as a Christian. I never ran away from what I did, ever. You ask my mother. I was in jail more than ever because I always pled guilty to the things I did. I tell my kids this every single day, Brother Island. This is what I tell them. If you're going to do something, you go ahead and do it. Don't be sneaky. Just do it and pay the consequence. Don't be sneaky. Because if I catch you, it's going to be worse. Imagine God catching us, being sneaky, sitting in the church pews. That's what we're doing, playing Christian. I'm going to be done here in a minute. Ecclesiastes 10:18 says, by much slothfulness, the building decayeth. And through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. Here we see the houses that are not being built in the Lord. They're a place of rottenness, a place that is slowly falling apart, piece by piece, and the people are too blinded to see it. They're discouraged, they're angry, they're blind, they're living for the pleasures of this world and just don't care about what's happening to their home. It's prevalent in the homes today, in the churches. But that by the time they do realize it, their home, their children, their husband, their wife, their monies have all slipped right through their hands. And their home stands in ruins, in total destruction. But it doesn't have to be if we could just take heed to the warnings. I believe with all my heart today, and I mean this more than any other time I've ever said this. I believe this is from the Lord. There's no question in my mind whatsoever. I'm saying exactly what God wanted me to. I've never been so comfortable in my life having a message in front of me knowing that this is exactly what God wanted. There's somebody hearing this that this is for. Or there's somebody on the internet that's going to hear it that this is for. There's no question about it. I've never had that before, Pastor. I've never had that such confidence and a message in my entire life as I do today. Because I think God is trying to save some lives. I think He's trying to spare some pain. I think He's trying to help some people see some things. It's what I believe with all my heart. I believe that. Not because of this man standing up here. I'm nothing. But the one living inside of me is something.
Amen.
He's the one who has me up here. You can be angry with God all you want. Or angry at me for being up here. Don't be angry at me. Be angry at your God. He's the one who put me up here. You ask Him. I didn't ask to come up here on Sunday. I didn't ask to teach Sunday school. God put that on the man of God's heart. You know what? I'm going to be obedient to it. And I see why. When will enough destruction be enough? After the divorce? After the funeral? After the abortion? After the suicide? Then it's going to be enough? After I have to go deal with your son or daughter in prison? After I have to go visit them in a rehab? Is it going to be enough then? No, it's not. It really isn't enough. It just keeps on going. So when will it be enough? Proverbs 29:1 says this, and I'm going to close. He that being often reproved hardeneth. That's a continual process. You don't just harden your heart one time. He's talking about people who continually are warned. They're continually being corrected, and they continue to harden their heart. It says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. And here's the scary part. And that without remedy. Could you imagine God finally taking His hands off of you and your family and saying, there's no remedy for you now? You know how God got Israel to listen? Leaving them 20 years in hardship. Of the iron chariots and horses and being under a subjection to the people of the world. He left them there for 20 years and they finally said, we just can't take it no more, God. Is that what you want God to do to you? You keep hardening your heart and He will. That's what it says. That's what His Bible says. I would take heed to the warning, please. Not for my sakes, for your sakes. I've taken heed to the warning. And I thank God for it. Pastor, I'm done.